Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of December 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Andy Schaefer from the Andersons facility out in Everly, Iowa, should join us to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll hear all about the agricultural weather, in particular the South American rainfall and some that will be coming here. Too. That from AgriBull's Eric Snodgrass. And it all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Friday afternoon. December contract in the corn pit at 373. Settled down 4.25. The March down 4 as well, 375.25. May down 4, 380.25. And December at 396, 3.25 lower. Soy complex January beans down 7.5 at $8.70.75. The March at 873.75, 7.5 lower. May down 7.5 at 880, and the July at 886.5, 7.5 lower. November beans 8.5 lower at $8.90.25. That for 2016. Bean meal off $2 at $2.72.20. Bean oil 43 cents lower at $31.08. Wheat futures December contract down a penny and 3/4 at $4.82.75. July at $5.50 down 4.5 cents, and July hard red at $5.02.75 down 7.5 cents. Live cattle futures at this hour trading December contract at $121.15. They're 40 cents lower, and the February at $125.95 is down 57.5 cents. Feeder cattle for the day in the January is now trading at $1.51 or $151.50. They're down $1.55, and the March contract at $149.87.5 or 97.5 cents lower. And lean hogs at $56 even are down 22.5, and the lead option December, February at $60.50 are $1.27.5 higher. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is a production of the University of Illinois. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Stay with us. We'll have more on the commodity markets in just a moment.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, the January contract down $1.11 at $35.65 a barrel. It's down near its low, which was $35.35, and that's the brand new low. Ethanol futures January contract at $1.45.4 is a penny and a tenth lower. Gasoline is up about 0.3%. It's still trading at $1.28.3, and heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.15. That's down 7.4 cents. Natural gas for the day at $1.98.6, 3 cents lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands 265 points lower at 17,301. And the dollar index at 97.57 is down 0.39 for the day. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,078 even are up $6. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Areas of drizzle. A slight chance of rain all before midnight, then areas of drizzle between midnight and 3 a.m. Areas of fog between midnight and 3 a.m. as well. Otherwise cloudy, a low of 52 degrees tonight. South-southwest winds at 10 to 13, gusting to 16. Chance of precip set at 20% for the night. Tomorrow, 20% chance of rainfall after the noon hour. Cloudy, a high of 66 degrees on a south-southwest wind at 11 to 14. It'll gust all the way to 20, and then Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers after midnight. Cloudy, a low of 59 degrees. South winds at 11 to 17. Gusting all the way on Saturday evening to 26. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet.
The closing market report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo is here on the 11th day of December to take a look at what happened in Chicago at the CME Group. Thanks, Mike, for being with us.
Great to be back with you, Todd.
I think I'd like to start this afternoon with the commodities, but with the one we were discussing this morning, which would be crude oil, because, again, it's continuing to make new lows.
Yeah, best news of the week I can give you, Todd, is we're less than $3 away from the 08-09 lows in crude, and wheat was able to stay positive on the week on the close, and corn was only down about 3 cents. But you can't get much good news other than that and the fact that we did find some additional short covering in the corn and the wheat after what looked to be mostly a negative USDA supply-demand report. I think you're seeing in the crude oil, like we talked about this morning, the beginnings of the rest of the market taking note, and we saw the crude oil slip when we talked about it this morning. After we got off the phone with one another, we saw the equities markets and the stock market in particular and the S&P take a big nosedive down about almost 2% at one point in time, and that, you know, then funneled back into the dollar, where there was probably a little bit of risk off safe haven buying in the dollar that kind of capped the losses for the dollar. So those three markets continue to work in tandem with one another as we get up against that all-important Federal Reserve meeting.
Yes, when we talked this morning, you were looking forward to the Federal Reserve meeting next week. Why is it so important to the marketplace, in your opinion?
Well, for one, no one really knows what's going to happen. I mean, quantitative easing and the theory between quantitative easing was looked at by Ben Bernanke back in the mid to late 90s when Japan started their deflationary track or had gotten kind of entrenched in their deflationary track. We don't know what the market's going to do now that we have ended quantitative easing here in the United States. And then if we do start to raise interest rates, the trade clearly sees this hurting the emerging markets. Money has been pulled out of China, pulled out of the emerging markets for the better part of 9 months overall. That has only strengthened the dollar more. And so the conventional wisdom would be the market has been selling the idea that in the commodities that we're going to raise interest rates. And every time the Fed would delay, it would give new highs to the equities and new lows to the commodities. If they finally come around and raise rates for the first time in literally 10 years, will that be the end to the commodity sell-off? I think it's very likely based upon economic theory and based upon just how short and negative this market is at this point. I was talking to a couple clients this week, and I said, other than the Federal Reserve coming in and bailing out banks and remembering those days where you'd come in and wonder what's the next big bank to fail, and the several hundred point drop in the stock market each day with new news coming out, I don't remember this being the commodity markets being this negative in 2008, 2009. It was really about the whole financial system. So I think you've got a lot of negativity in this market that maybe is even more than what we had, you know, 6-7 years ago.
So is the negativity being built up because the Federal Reserve has been talking about an interest rate for quite some time, and they and you hear this from traders, just go ahead and do it so we can see what happens. And if they do, the idea is the healing's done and we'll get on to a more normal kind of economy?
Yeah, I think so. I think it goes back to there's now new information out. And Bank of International Settlements came out with a brand new report at the beginning of this week that kind of talks about this. I'm going to be talking about this and writing about this in my weekly copy this weekend. But essentially, there's now thoughts that $7 trillion of quantitative easing money went straight into the emerging markets to help them build cement factories and steel factories and things they just simply didn't need, because at the exact same time, the China and the emerging markets like Brazil and Russia were starting to see a peak in their demand. And so they overproduced part of the reason was because it was funded by quantitative easing. And so now we've cut the commodity demand off at the legs at this stage, and we've taken prices down so sharply that the market is expecting commodity demand to not really recover. But yet, in fact, in point of fact, OPEC came out this week and talked about how the non-OPEC production is going to be even less than what they thought in 2016, and overall world demand for oil will probably be better than what they thought and versus their last expectation and forecast in November. So I think you're actually starting to see the market get a lot more balanced because of how much price erosion we've seen, especially in the ag commodities. And we talked about that this morning as well.
Does it mean, I'm thinking about this a little bit, because of what OPEC just said and what you told me they said, that those who have had the competitive edge will maintain that competitive edge. And I suppose for the United States, that's corn. I don't know that that would be the case for soybeans.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think that's where our cost of production and our ability to produce very strong yields, both are best in the corn market. And today, you didn't see the corn market hold pat. Why was that? Well, I think in part, two big things came out after our midday update. Number one, the USDA came out 2 months early with their long-term projections or selected tables of their long-term projections and pushed 16-17 corn acres up over 2 million from last year to 90.5. I don't argue that point, but it came at the expense of soybeans, which they cut 1.2 million acres to 82 million even. And so I think that really hurt the trade psychology in the corn, especially given the fact that we had seen that short covering after the report. The other thing that keeps being swirled around and talked about and really confuses the daylights out of me is this Argentine export tax being cut. It would be negative for beans if they would cut the export tax dramatically. But even after USDA upping the Argentine wheat exports this week, they only have 1.5 million tons of Argentine wheat ending stocks for this 15-16 marketing year. They only have 1.1 million tons of corn. So does it really matter that they cut their export tax? Because they really don't have much more to ship anyway. But that trade psychology, because of the crude oil in China and the demand, just gets reinforced that, oh, we haven't gone low enough to attract the demand yet.
Do we know what day next week Federal Reserve will meet?
The fan should be running full blast by Tuesday afternoon. We'll probably get some indication on Monday, but I would suspect the fan will be at full blast on Tuesday afternoon.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Yeah, I mean, again, the crude oil market is really hitting the cattle markets. I did not expect to see such a slip in the cash market this week. It was on light volume, but even with that, I did not like to see a $6 less cattle market trade midweek. Part of the reason is because we built 2 pounds again in the weights. We're up to almost 850 pounds dressed weights. Why we're not putting more weight on hogs, but we are on cattle, is a big question that cattle on feed report next month's going to have to answer. I should say later this month's going to have to answer. So I would be looking for a mid-December low in cattle if that cattle on feed report doesn't bring any new bearish news to us.
Hey, thanks for taking the time with me today.
My pleasure, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Friday afternoon. It's the 11th day of December next week. Just a quick reminder, I will be traveling. However, I will be on the air as well. So we'll be live to tape mostly, but live if we can from the iHotel on Monday and Tuesday. We'll be at Ferrandez at the DeKalb. That's the Banquet Center there. Wednesday in Peoria at the Peoria Civic Center. Thursday in Springfield at the Crown Plaza. And Friday at the Holiday Inn. This is with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. If you've not been to this meeting, it's a great one. And walk-ins certainly are welcome as long as space is available. And I know that in both Springfield and Peoria, that should be certainly the case. On Monday, it's a pretty good-sized event, so that might be more iffy, but we'll make room for you, I'm quite certain. $75 to walk in. Our speakers include Jonathan Kappas, Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, Todd Keithy, Nick Polson, and Gary Schnitke, all voices you should be familiar with if you listen to the Closing Market Report on a regular schedule. In today's agricultural news, it appears Congress will yet again pass another continuing resolution, this time to keep the federal government funded through Wednesday to clear some time to negotiate and pass an omnibus spending bill. House Speaker Paul Ryan took to the media Thursday to address his 2016 agenda without providing any details on the stalled spending bill negotiations. Riders attached to the spending bill appear to be keeping negotiations from moving forward. No breakthroughs in Congress from the agriculture lobby has been announced at this point, as some agriculture groups continue to press for repeal of country of origin labeling. Other possible attached issues to the omnibus bill include addressing the EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule, labeling of genetically modified foods, and restrictions on the renewable fuels standards. Negotiations on the tax extenders are taking place simultaneously with the appropriations process, according to Ryan, who did not say when negotiations on the omnibus bill will be completed. Speaking of WOTUS, challenges to the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Water Rule, or Waters of the U.S. rule, will probably end up in the Supreme Court. It's just a matter of how long that'll take. During a hearing on WOTUS earlier this week, a federal appeals court judge indicated the lawsuits will make their way to the high court. The U.S. Sixth Court of Appeals heard arguments this week regarding its own jurisdiction to rule on dozens of lawsuits filed against the EPA rule. The Sixth Circuit Court judge must now decide whether they will take the lead in overseeing the lawsuits at various legal arguments. The president's administration wants the lawsuits to be consolidated into one, which would allow them to move directly to the Supreme Court. However, many challengers would rather see the cases played out in individual federal district courts and then appealed in multiple regions. More than 30 states have joined lawsuits against the rule, as well as a glut of industry groups and businesses. And finally today, we told you earlier about the Dow-DuPont merger. Now let's hear what the reactions have been. An American Farm Bureau economist has been casting a wary eye on the potential cost-cutting mega-merger between those two companies. Farm Bureau senior economist Bob Young warns the proposed merger of two $60 billion companies could yield mass layoffs, abrupt research cuts, and possible fewer choices for farmers.
Well, limited choices. Obviously, your choice set's going to get smaller. I mean, there's still, you know, one or two out there, but there's not that many out there when it gets right down to it.
Analysts say Dow Chemical and DuPont would sell almost a fifth of the world's pesticides, more than 40% of America's corn seeds, and nearly as much of the country's soybean seeds. Young says such consolidation would lead to higher input prices at a time when commodity prices are already too low.
Eventually, one would think that that could be the case. You know, as competition in that space backs off, one could certainly talk about a story where input prices would adjust accordingly.
He says farmers could also pay a price in less research.
Plants and weeds and pests have, you know, been developing resistance to whatever treatment it is we decide to try to put on them since the dawn of time. And if you're not always kind of out there on the cutting edge trying to find a new tool to be able to use against them, you know, we're going to have to constantly fight yield pressure, weed pressure, bug pressure, et cetera. We've kind of always got to be working on this research front.
Young says Farm Bureau may take a closer look at the proposed Dow-DuPont merger when the Justice Department does the same, but he says there may not be much anyone can do since market economies are behind such industry consolidation. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Now let's take a moment and go back to earlier this morning when Dow and DuPont made their announcement that the two companies would combine into a merger, what they're calling equals. Dow DuPont, that's the merged business name, will then be split into three independent publicly traded companies. They'll focus on agriculture, material service, and specialty products. The company's new leadership team says the projected market value of the merger is about $30 billion. DuPont's Ed Breen will serve as the new CEO of the Dow DuPont company. DuPont owns Pioneer Hybrid Seeds, by the way, and Breen says the merger will also achieve about $1 billion worth of growth synergies.
We get these massive synergies, which were all within our control. We don't nothing that the market's doing. It's all within our control to do. And then over kind of a longer period of time, and I say longer, intermediate to longer, we'll be working on revenue synergies. And by the way, just on the ag side, back to the last set of questions, there's really neat opportunity there just as one. So to me, it checks all the boxes of a great deal and a way to create value for our shareholders. And That's the way I've always looked at this. What's the best way to create long-term sustainable value for shareholders? And that's the move we made today.
Market capitalization of the new Dow DuPont is $130 billion. Most current shareholders will each own approximately 50% of the combined company. To learn more, visit our website at willag.org. There you can listen to the last 3 minutes of the investor call from this morning, or you can find a link to the whole of the investor call, including the PowerPoint presentation as it was made for the new Dow DuPont company. Just as a reminder, next week I'll be on the road with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, traveling with the Ag Economist from the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences and U of I Extension. We'll start our travels right here in Urbana-Champaign. We'll be at the I Hotel and Conference Center on Monday, and then in DeKalb on Tuesday at Ferranda's Banquet Center, and Wednesday in Peoria at the Civic Center. Thursday in Springfield, we'll visit the Crown Plaza, and Friday in Mount Vernon, we'll be at the Holiday Inn. Registration each day starts at 7:45 and runs to 8:15 when I'll take over, and we'll begin the process. We wrap up during the noon hour with a lunch at the end of the morning. This should be a great program. Jonathan Kappas, Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, Todd Keithy, Nick Polson, Gary Schnitke, all voices you should be familiar with if you listen to our programs, will be on the road with me for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. If you have not registered, no worries. You can walk into any of those events if you'd like. There is space available. However, it will cost $75, so make sure that you're prepared for that. The fee includes, of course, all the meeting materials, the break, and the refreshments, and your lunch. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits, it starts next week at the I Hotel right here in Champaign, Illinois. We'll kick off around 7:45 for registration again. We'll be then in DeKalb, Peoria, Springfield, and Mount Vernon. All the details are on the Farm Doc Daily website. Look over on the right-hand side for Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. Jonathan Friedman joins us from the Andersons facility outside of Everly, Iowa. He's here instead of Andy Schaefer. Hey, thanks for doing this afternoon. I appreciate it.
You bet. Not a problem.
So in your area, we know there's a lot of corn. Have basis levels been weakening at all?
Yeah, they have. That DJAN bid around here at the ethanol plants has started to get a little bit weaker here. So as a result, you've kind of seen the elevator bids back off some as well. But that Feb-March time frame, they're still kind of screaming for some corn there. Not getting too aggressive buying that far out yet. Just, you know, trying to see what maybe they can get dabble in after the end of the January obligations. But we're starting to get some farmers that are biting on that Jan-Feb time frame. But right now, that nearby window is really closing up.
How far under the bids are you today?
Those ethanol plants around here today, their ranges are probably anywhere from the 18 to 22 under the March range. That beast bid is almost mirrored the same in January as well. So that's kind of why I indicated there that they're getting some coverage on those time frames.
So they're pretty, actually, while they're still pretty tight then. You've got a lot of corn,
yeah.
And only 18 under.
Yeah, they're not too bad there, but pretty much the further you go south from our facilities here in northwest Iowa, the stronger the basis gets there. So it's kind of like a stair-step effect there. It gets a lot wider basis to the north, and it obviously gets into that lower teens as you get further down south.
And your spot bids for the day?
Spot bids here today, we are 342 cash corn, and we are 8:16 cash beans.
Thanks much, Jonathan. That's Jonathan Friedman. Back in
support for WILL comes from Busey. With more than 145 years of experience, Busey understands the benefits healthy businesses provide the local economy. Proudly partnering with the business community since 1868. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Noodle Ring Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1874, James Lewis Kraft was born. A Canadian-born inventor, he discovered a pasteurizing process for cheese. and in 1903, he founded the Kraft Company in Chicago. In 1916, Kraft patented a processed cheese formula based on milk solids that would not spoil. He called it American cheese. The general public found it bland, but Kraft remained undaunted. He took the formula to the U.S. Army and sold them 6 million pounds of the product. In 1941, Frank Conrad died. He is generally regarded as creator of radio shows. One day, while transmitting from his garage amateur station, he substituted a record player for his microphone. And soon he heard from large numbers of listeners tuning in with crystal sets clamoring for more music and news. When swamped with requests, he decided to air regularly scheduled programs, and he coined the term broadcast. In 1952, William Dampier died, a British scientist, agriculturalist, and science historian. He developed a method of extracting milk sugar from surplus whey. The process was put to use on a commercial scale during the cheese shortage of World War I. He was also knighted in 1931 for his public service in agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 11th day of December. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible here in town to take a look at the weather forecast for the growing regions around the planet. Let's start in South America rather than here, because I don't want to hear about the rainy conditions yet over the weekend. Speaking of which, they've had quite a little bit of rain in some of their areas.
Yeah, I think we've kind of been talking about maybe some stress in terms of rainfall amounts in the northern growing regions, so kind of focusing in on Mato Grosso. And I read some reports over the last few days about some replanting that's having to be done there, basically because some spots have not received as much rain as they would hope, and they've had some heat, and that puts some stress on the soybeans. And I've heard about as much as 3% of the area has been replanted. On the whole, most of the northern regions have been receiving regular rain, but some locations, even though it's been regular, are about at half of what they need, or what is typical, I should say. So there's a little bit of cause for concern there, and I think on the whole, though, Brazil is going to be doing great for the year, but this might mean something for the safrinha crop. So both cotton and corn may not get planted in some parts of Mato Grosso. But, you know, in the bigger picture here, Brazil is having a good year in terms of precipitation because the southern growing regions have been getting plenty of precipitation.
And then come back to the United States. We're also expecting a rainfall this weekend.
Yeah, system's getting going right now. It's we're going to crank up on Saturday and kind of race toward the northeast, cutting right across the heartland here. You know, us in Illinois, we'll start to see precipitation Saturday night and Sunday morning. And it'll push through the north and really go into the Great Lakes by Monday. A little bit of snow on the far northern sides of this, but this is going to be a big rainmaker across much of the growing regions in the U.S. And what's interesting is that, you know, here in Champaign, our record high for tomorrow, the 12th, is 62 degrees. And because of the trajectory of this system bringing a lot of strong southerly winds, you know, we're expecting winds over 20 miles an hour tomorrow. We're going to possibly get up into the middle 60s, maybe 65 or 66. Now, it'll be cloudy, but still that strong southerly wind cranks up the temperatures. And so we might break a record tomorrow. Interestingly enough, though, the first 10 days of December here have been very warm across the entire United States, especially in the north. And even after this system is through us, you know, our temperatures maybe drop back down closer to normal. You know, we're really not going to be dropping way back down into, you know, the teens. We're talking about temperatures returning to the middle 30s, maybe even low 40s. So, yeah, this has been the story of the 2015 winter so far.
And if we turn elsewhere, last week you talked about India and some rainfall they've had.
Yeah, thankfully, the long-term forecast, you know, the next 15 days for southern India, which has just been hammered with rain, is looking at a kind of that slowing down, possibly even stopping, which is good. They need to get in and get some relief and get things cleaned up. But if you kind of go a little bit to the east of there and get over to Indonesia, something else interesting to talk about is that the drought that's been kind of going on there is possibly impacting rice production and other crops. So, yeah, we got to kind of keep an eye on that part of the world during El Nino years like this year.
And thanks for doing that, Eric. Eric Snodgrass is with AgriBull, joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Commodity Week is coming up next. Our panelists today include Wayne Nelson, Kurt Kimmel, and Jackie Vake. Stay with us for that one. A reminder that I'll be out of the office, but on the air next week, traveling with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. I hope to see you in Champaign or Peoria, DeKalb, Springfield, or Mount